Blog Talk Radio.
Desperate House Witches. I'm Raina Starcy, or have to be. Desperate House Witches is not a G, PG, or even an R-rated show, so dirty talk, bad language, bodily function, or anything like that upsets you, this would not be the show for you, but I know that's why you tune in. Boy, it's been interesting. Desperate House Witches is brought to you by the incredibly wicked one, the amazing Dorothy Morrison. For Dorothy Morrison, please check out all things about her on dorothymorrison.com, her website. And if you are looking for Wicked Witch Studio products, please check with your local retailer who provides you with all that good stuff. So, today, I am very, very lucky to have the incredibly nice lady, the amazing Diotima Mantinea, and I am going to bring her on. Dio?
Hello. Hi, Raina.
Hi,
how are you?
Welcome to see you, or hear you, I should say. So I wanted to just give a shout-out to everybody who was, you know, so wrapped up in the fantasticness of the eclipse. I did not see the fantasticness because I'm stuck in Charlotte, and it basically to us looked like a cloudy day, and it was fine. But the energies were kind of weird, kind of off, kind of crazy. So Diotima is a witch and a professional astrologer and tarot reader for a long time. We're not going to talk about age. She's also the author of Touch the Earth, Sky, allowing the rational mind to be welcome magic and spirituality. She writes for witches and pagans and teaches and does garden things and soil things and science. She's a very credible person for this subject, let me just say. How you been, love? How you been?
I've been well. I mean, you know, it's it's a rough time to be alive sometimes, but mostly I've been well. I just spent some time up at the Sacred Space Conference, and that was a lot of fun. And now I'm getting into garden, getting back into the garden mode.
Yeah.
Which I haven't been able to do for a while.
Yeah, I'm glad you are, because enough of us can't do it or don't have the wherewithal or the talent for it. I know I don't have the talent for it. I have two very brown thumbs, which is unfortunate. But so did you do classes at Sacred Space? What was your action over there?
Yeah, I taught a couple of classes. I taught one called The Roaring 2020s, which was basically about the astrology of the coming decade. And then another one called You Don't Really Believe in Astrology, Do You? which was pretty much about how you really can't dismiss astrology the way people keep trying to do, and how what it says about our society that's the way it is. But and there were it was great seeing a whole bunch of people, and there were some incredible classes and rituals. It's such a great conference.
Definitely. I have to get there sometime. I've never been, but everyone so tells me how amazing and wonderful it is. So, since you brought it up, my love, because I'm of such an age where it's I got to tell you, honestly, you know, I do a lot of shows about politics, and I do a lot of shows about events, and I got to say, I'm starting to get to a point where it's I'm getting too old to be as nervous as I've been. What am I not paying attention to from an astrology standpoint that might make me feel better about everything?
Well, first of all, I mean, I also have, you know, I log on to Twitter or Facebook, and I start reading the news, and it's bad news out there. Just the fact that there are so many people who are longing for some kind of authoritarian, theocratic government is pretty damn scary. But there's, from an astrological point of view, really what we're looking at, without getting too technical about it, is an expansion of human consciousness. And yet it is that expansion and shift and change of human consciousness, and I think we'll see the beginnings of it in this decade, probably in 2026. But that our expansion of consciousness is not all of a sudden, you know, instead of Jesus coming back, we've got unicorns and rainbows falling down on us. It's going to be difficult. It's, you know, and there are going to be challenges. But the thing is we just entered what's called an age of air. And this is based on the conjunction of the planets of Jupiter and Saturn, which happens about once every 20 years. And the interesting thing about the conjunctions of Jupiter and Saturn, which astrologers for a couple thousand years at least have used as an indicator of social change, the interesting thing about those conjunctions is that with a little wobble on one end or the other, when they conjunct in a sign, and conjunction means that they come together in the same sign, they're in the exact same spot on the zodiac, they conjunct in signs of the same element for 200 years.
Uh-oh.
And that means... And so after, and you know, the zodiac is divided by elements. All four elements are in the zodiac, and each element is assigned to three separate signs. And so it's the classical four elements: air, fire, water, and earth. And so when we've had 200 years of an air sign, then we have 200 years of a water sign, and then we have 200 years of an earth sign, and then we have 200 years of a fire sign. So it has been 800 years since we last had an age of air, 200 years of the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction in air signs. And an age of air is just about what you would think it is if you like most witches and pagans and other folks are aware of the four classical elements. And when you think in terms of technological breakthroughs and communications and migrations and trade and opening up of lines of trade, all of that sort of thing, that's pretty much what we can expect in over the next 200 years. Now, this most recent conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn, which happened in December of 2020, was in Aquarius, at 1 degree of Aquarius. And not long after that, in fact, last year, Pluto moved into Aquarius and stationed at 1 degree of Aquarius. Now, it went back into Capricorn for a little while, and then this January, it went back into Aquarius, and because of retrogrades, it's going to go back into Capricorn for about 6 weeks this fall. Then it's going to move into Aquarius and stay there for 40 years.
Oh,
now, this is good news. This is good news because, Aquarius... Aquarius is the sign of social progress. And it's a lot of people assign the planet Uranus as the ruler of Aquarius. I see it as perhaps a co-ruler. Excuse me. But for the most part, I use the traditional assignment of Saturn as the ruler of Aquarius. And Saturn, of course, is also the ruler of Capricorn, which is sort of the quintessential sign of capitalism and materialism.
I hit lean very
Excuse
heavily
me. I'm
in
just
my
getting
chart.
Over a cold. Huh?
Oh, broke your heart. Oh, I was just saying, you know, I have Capricorn rising, so yeah, I understand.
Yeah, well, mundane astrology, which is the astrology of politics and culture and the world, is a little different from natal astrology. But so that doesn't mean that Capricorn rising is all graspy and capitalistic.
But no,
the thing about
some of it for sure.
Oh yeah, it's an earth sign. But you know, the thing is Capricorn builds up all of these structures of business and long lasting things structures of human governance, stuff like that. But Saturn is also perfectly willing to tear down what it's built and rebuild if it thinks that it's not working anymore and we can do better. And that's the thing about Aquarius. I think, yes, as we see with the planet Uranus, it tends to be very progressive and be all about change. But Saturn is really about building structures, and Aquarius is the sign in which we build social structures that work for everyone, not just the top 1%.
Right.
And that's where we're going over the next number of years, I think. There's every time that 1 degree of Aquarius is activated, that degree is going to be sensitive for the next 20 years because that's the degree where Jupiter and Saturn conjuncted in 2020. I think we'll see more steps ahead, more steps forward. So that's one thing that that you can look forward to is that,
yeah,
you know, the arc of the future, I think, is you know, bends towards justice and progress and equality. But also, hang on 1 second.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Because you know, of course, there's going to be a however in this conversation. And that always makes me extraordinarily nervous. So
what makes you nervous?
I said, because there's a pause there, so I know you're going to say however, and however is the word that makes me the most nervous.
Well, here's the thing. There's also an aspect pattern. Now, aspects are the geometric relationships between the planets in the sky. And when we look at mundane astrology, which is the astrology of world affairs, we look at a lot of different things, but particularly we look at the patterns that are forming in the sky, the geometric patterns that are forming in the sky between the outer planets, which is Jupiter out through Pluto. And there's an aspect pattern that is happening or coming to exactness in 2026, and actually much of it is lasting through the rest of the decade, that is very positive. And the astrologer André Barbeau, back in 2021, predicted the 2020 pandemic very clearly. He said, there's going to be a pandemic in 2020. I mean, there, you know, it wasn't like you had to look at his words and go, is that what he meant? No. He said, there's going to be a pandemic in 2020. And
right.
But he's the one who looked at this upcoming aspect pattern in 2026 and said that this is going to be a new sort of a restart for humanity. And that is hang on a minute, I'll give you the exact quote. Here's what he said.
Okey-dokey.
The New World civilization, the beginnings of which appeared around the year 2000, is in full flight. This is July of 2026. This entry into the second quarter of the century bears the stamp of the achievement of a new age of humanity. So that should cheer you up a bit.
A little.
However.
Yeah, I knew the however was coming because you can't fool me. Go ahead.
However, I mean, you know, look, Barbeau wrote this back in the, I think, 2010. And it's, you know, I can understand being that hopeful. And maybe he's right. I mean, maybe the space brethren will come down and, you know, wave a magic wand and everything will be fine. I don't know about you,
no.
But I don't think that's highly likely. Not the bit about the UFOs. I mean, I think that's possible, and that's actually one of the things that I think we'll be seeing, particularly under this Age of Air and Aquarian emphasis. But the world's a mess, and it's not going to it's not going to get better quickly.
Right.
But I think that we will start seeing a shift in 2026, and that is you know, and hopefully it will be a new age of humanity. But new ages, you know, rarely spring full grown from the earth.
Right.
Or from everybody's heads or whatever. There are usually some,
right.
you know, stops and starts and difficulties and all of that. And we have to look at what's going on and what the scientists are saying. And as someone who's studied, you know, the science of the environment and ecology and all of that, I keep up with what's going on in modern times, with the science currently. And people say, you know, I mean, there's this thing, well, not all scientists believe that climate change is happening or that it's man-made. And honestly, that's bullshit. They all do. Yeah. I mean, maybe you can find one or two who don't. But even if you look at the ones who said, look, here's my, you know, well-designed and organized explication of why it's not man-made or why it's not happening, you look at it and tear it apart, and you realize that their thoughts and their experiments are not standing on a firm foundation.
Right.
So we have to understand. What?
I said, or crap.
Yeah. That's another way of putting it, absolutely.
It is.
So,
yeah.
So I think that, we're getting a thunderstorm here. It's got a big, my cats just went, oh, what was that?
Yeah, it looks like it's rolling in where I am, too.
Yeah, but it was just a big clap of thunder.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, now the rain's coming down. Good,
here.
But
yeah,
I'm on the cell phone, and it will be good. We'll be good.
Okay.
So anyway, yeah, you know, we have to recognize that any new age of humanity will be built on the collapse of the environment as we know it, and how we adapt. And how we create a new relationship between humanity and our environment is really one of the most crucial considerations of the coming decade. Because while, yes, I do believe that we're entering a new age of humanity, I do believe that there is going to be progress. But I also know that that there is going to be difficulty, and there already is. But as a friend of mine said, you know, not everyone lost their head in the French Revolution. So while we can look around and see that there's some really awful things happening, that doesn't mean that everything is going to fall apart, or that everyone is going to be wandering through an apocalyptic hellscape with a backpack on their back trying to avoid the hordes of zombies, you know? So, you know, the important thing is that we will build a new civilization, but it will be built on the fallen stones of the old civilization. I know that you and probably most of your listeners are familiar with Byron Ballard's concept of tower time.
Uh-huh.
And the way I look at it is, you know, when the tower falls, what you end up with is a big pile of stones. And that's the material for building something new, which will hopefully not be a tower, but a more inclusive longhouse. And it's also worth remembering that the star card is the card after the tarot card, the tower card. So, yeah. So we're, you know, I do think that we are moving into, in other words, I don't think that we're going to, that the human race is going to be erased from the face of the earth, and the few of us that are left are going to go back to, you know, living in caves and searching out whatever wild animals are around with homemade spears, you know.
Right.
I think it's really
my vision wasn't that extreme, actually. But it does. I'm sure for some people it is that extreme, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it is. It really is. And some of those people for whom it is that extreme have very good reasons for believing in that extreme. I mean, not, you know, hunting wild animals with spears, but definitely going back to, a prior to industrial revolution style of living on the earth. But it's not going to all happen at once, so we'll have some time to adjust. And there's also, you know, we can't completely eliminate the idea that there might be some kind of breakthrough event of science, technology, space preference, whatever, that can really solve a lot of our problems and turn things around. But it's not something that's going to happen quickly or easily. And I think that we really need to start acclimating ourselves to the ideas that, to the idea that the type of society that we're living in now is not going to be the one that our children and grandchildren live in. And so I think it's important for us to face the facts, for one thing. We need to understand that we are in a declining civilization because we didn't pay attention soon enough to turn it around.
I gotta tell you honestly, and you may disagree with this, but you tell me if you do. First of all, the idea that our society is declining, I think, has been evident quite some time. As far as our society changing, my biggest fear is how adaptable people actually are. I'll give you an example. Remember when school shootings were a big deal?
Yep.
I remember when everyone freaked out that there was a school shooting. Now it happens all the time. And human beings, in my opinion, are extraordinarily adaptable to whatever is thrown at us, good, bad, or indifferent. We came to a society that accepted something like Trump.
Right.
Someone who lies and shoots and steals being, you know, presidential worthy was something that could not even be imagined 20 years ago, not as blatantly and as psychotically as he does it. Not that there isn't a bunch of lying that goes on in politics. Of course there is. I'm not that stupid. But someone who was so outwardly brazen was not something that was ever going to be acceptable. I think the base human nature of a lot of our fellow countrymen won't even notice that much of a change because the slide is already happening.
Exactly.
People paying attention, I think fewer people are paying attention now when it comes to the environment because I think a lot of people are feeling like, well, it's fucking too late already now. so I might as well enjoy it. But if you watch over the past few decades and you could see the transition of things that were never acceptable now being commonplace, daily, very acceptable, it will not surprise a good number of us who are on the older end of the spectrum. I'm talking about me.
Exactly.
We're not surprised by any of this, and we're kind of tired. The fight has to be handed over to other people who care, who are younger, and they're just not caring that much yet. So I don't know.
Here's one of the things that I think is going to happen. I think that we're going to have serious issues with getting sufficient electricity. Now, it's going to hit probably the more developed countries later rather than sooner. But there will be, even soon, you know, rolling blackouts, satellites being decommissioned either by adversaries or by technical difficulties. What happens when we can't stare at our phones anymore?
Oh, my gosh. We're going back to pen and paper, boo-boo. Get ready.
Right. But being disconnected from the Internet, I think, is, and I think that will happen. I don't mean the Internet will go down permanently forever, you know, at a single moment. But there will be outages. There will be increasingly frequent outages. You know, if for no other reason than the fact that the madman in Russia certain other madmen in other countries feel that cutting the undersea internet cables, which carries, you know, satellites do not carry the majority of our internet traffic. Undersea cables do. And they're getting cut deliberately. And, you know, we're repairing them now as fast as we can. As, you know, as soon as it happens, it gets fixed. But that's going to be happening more and more. And now, you know, Putin's talking about taking out satellites using nuclear weapons. EMPs would take out, you know, electricity over a large swath of the world, a single EMP. And he's,
right.
You know, Putin's also talking about using nuclear weapons. So,
yep.
I mean, I think that while we're not, a lot of people are not paying attention right now because they can get away with it, pretty soon it's going to become more and more obvious that what is happening. And there will be fewer and fewer places to escape to, like the Internet. I mean, you and I look at the Internet and, you know, and we go, oh, I don't want to, you know, the news is so depressing and all of that. But it does make us feel connected. I'm, you know, thrilled that the Internet existed, and I've been on it for about as long as it has existed.
yep.
But and it would be a psychologically incredibly jarring to our human psychology at this point to be cut off from the Internet, and I think things like that are going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, recently we've had instances of that exactly happening, not on a large scale, as in, you know, no way to communicate, but for example, just a couple of months ago that Facebook was down for like an entire day and everybody just flipped.
Right. Right. What happens when it's down and Twitter's down for an entire week or 2 weeks for
one reason or another?
Exactly.
And then, you know, there was a situation with a phone carrier recently where everything went down and you could not, you know, connect with any of those items because of that particular phone service. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's samples of it are already very much happening, very much happening.
And we're also seeing what?
I said it's nerve-wracking. I admit it. It was very nerve-wracking for me when it happened. Yeah.
Yeah, it absolutely is nerve-wracking. But what it means, to my way of thinking, is that those of us who are aware, those of us who are magical people, those of us who have trained our minds, have to understand that we are in the vanguard of the shift in consciousness. And we have to pull up our big girl panties or whatever underwear suits us and get on with it.
Yeah, life has to continue in spite of whatever else is going on outside.
Exactly. And we're seeing small instances of what are going to become big instances, say, over the rest of this century. And we have to face that, and we have to start looking at how we can soften the landing. And the first thing we have to do is we have to face the facts that this is happening, and we have to face them fearlessly. And really, the only way to face the kind of collapse of reality, of, you know, civilization and reality that we're seeing, to my way of thinking, is to have a very firm, solid foundation in the spiritual world, to understand that we aren't alone, to understand that there are beings that most of us as witches work with, are aware of, spirits, deities, etc., and that we do have help. And if we know that, and if we also know that, you know, death isn't the end, that, you know, that there is a larger reality beyond the time and space bound physical reality that we live in, then we can understand that we don't have to fear. I mean, obviously there are going to be some things that we might be afraid of, but the kind of existential fear of annihilation that a lot of us carry around with reason, is holding us back from being what is needed at this point in time. And so we all have to gather our courage, and that to me was the meaning of this latest eclipse, which was in Aries.
Yeah.
And Aries is the sign of war. It's also the sign of courage. It's the sign of action. It's the sign of making a place for yourself in the world. And I think this is a time when we have to gather our courage, and we may be afraid, but we have to do it anyway.
Right.
We have to face the
facts. We have to press forward. Yeah, absolutely.
And the most one of the most important things, to my way of thinking, particularly for us as witches, is that we have to lead the way into a different way of relating to nature and the world around us. Because we understand that the world is alive. We understand that the earth is conscious, that the web of life is precious, that resources are not just something to be taken and stripped away, that we have to nurture the web of life, and that we have to learn to, I mean, you and I may feel like we can go out and talk to a tree.
Uh-huh.
And that, I hope, is will more and more people will do, will come to understand that there are different forms of consciousness, animal consciousness, plant consciousness, planetary consciousness, that there are different forms of consciousness. That may be a little radical for, you know, that may be a little radical for most, but we can at least say, listen, look at how the environment reacts to our actions. Look at how, when we cut down the, you know, the forests of the Amazon, look at how that affects what's going on in our world. And I think that, you know, this is really one of the reasons why we have to, we as witches can't just sit back and say, well, it's going to be rough. Let's see, where's the nearest rock I can go hide under? Or, you know, let me get my, you know, my witch's cottage in the woods and I'll stock up and we'll see what happens. We can't do that. That's not ethically, I think we are required. Huh?
Yeah, we're not allowed to do that.
Right. I mean, I think ethically we're required to, and I think that's why we're here, is to help birth a new reality, help birth a new civilization, which is a more Aquarian civilization, a more progressive civilization, the kind of civilization where government, the reality of government and business is built around what's good for everyone, not just what's good for the CEOs and the billionaires and the politicians.
Right.
So I'm, and so, you know, I think we have to face the fact. I think we have to strengthen our connection with nature, but also make sure that people understand that they can connect with nature too. And then I think that we have to develop our own agency, our own power. And because that's what Pluto is all about, you know, and this whole Pluto and Aquarius transit that's going to be happening over the next 30 some years at this point, but no, 40 years, over the next 40 years, Pluto is about power and agency. And too many of us shy away from claiming our power because we're afraid, or we don't think we can, or someone has convinced us that we're powerless. That's a big one. So it's important for us to work to claim our power. And of course, really, that is one of the main goals of magic. As magic, yeah, as a path, not as a spell, is
right,
to deepen our relationship with nature, deepen our relationship with ourselves, and come to understand that we have some power. I mean, some of us have more power than others. Obviously, Joe Biden has more power than either one of us in the material world, but.
Yes.
Here, you know, we need to understand that whatever power we have, we must use, and we have to use it to weave the web. And that's a very Age of Air concept, is the whole concept of weaving the web, of bringing people together, of communicating. And hopefully, you know, we will start using the internet not to tap power from people, not to make people afraid and powerless, but to connect with each other and to communicate with each other so that we can work to build a new civilization. Because the old one ain't going to make it.
Well, because it's not making it. It's not even that it won't make it or isn't sustainable. It's not sustainable. We already know this. The problem is that, and you cited some really good reasons why people don't want to, you know, use their power, or people deny that they have power and such. And I think a lot of it is because once you realize you have it, you have to use it.
responsibility. Yep, exactly.
A lot of people don't want to do that. They're busy paying bills.
And that was another thing about this most recent eclipse. You know, it was very it was very tied in with a conjunction between Saturn and Mars in Pisces, which of course is the sign of the highest spirituality, as well as things like delusions and addictions and stuff like that. But that Mars-Saturn conjunction as part of this eclipse means that we need to step into our responsibilities and take action.
Uh-huh.
And the responsibilities.
Go ahead. Yeah, we're getting into the nut of it. Go ahead. That this is what I wanted to hear.
So sorry, I lost my train of thought. There was another call coming in, and I had to make it go away. So I made it go away.
Oh.
So anyway, the Mars Saturn conjunction. About stepping into, you know, stepping up into our responsibilities, taking action based on our responsibilities. And here's the thing. I'm not talking about the responsibilities that other people have laid on us, some of which are perfectly valid. I mean, if you have children, then you have a responsibility to make sure that they have a good life, to make sure that, you know, that you give them food and clothing and lots of love and all of that. But the responsibilities that I'm talking about are the responsibilities that you took on when you incarnated into this lifetime. And each one of us incarnated with very specific responsibilities that we agreed to take on. And, you know, part of living life here in the material world within time and space, part of it is that we don't always remember those responsibilities, but we have to remember them, and we have to step up and do what needs to be done.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, response, because I'm a mom of two, and it's like, let's see, I raised them to adulthood. They're alive.
Do you love them? Did they get love?
Of course I love them. Well, actually,
and that's really all they need. That's really all they need.
Yeah.
You know, if kids know that they're loved, mostly they'll be okay.
Usually, yeah. That's usually one of the secrets to getting them through. But, you know, I still worry. I'm still going to be worried. Anybody who has, you know, a next generation in their life is going to be worried. You know, we're obviously concerned about the next election. Every election gets more important as one passes and becomes more critical to our way of life. Do you have any thoughts that you would like to share about the next election, or no? You can say no.
No, I do, actually. I haven't done my deep dive into both Biden, well, I've done a more of a deep dive into Trump's chart than I have into Biden's, but honestly, my feeling is that Trump will not be in the White House again, ever. And I would be surprised if he makes it to the election. I mean, there are lots of reasons he might not make it to the election. His dementia is really getting out of control. I mean, the word salads that we are seeing, he's just blathering. And I can't believe that anyone who has any kind of control over who the Republican nominee is going to allow this man to become the Republican nominee. Of course, you know, how low can you go? And the Republican Party seems to be able to go pretty low these days. But I can't believe that anyone would put a man who is that mentally compromised in the White House. So I think I took a brief look at Nikki Haley's chart. I believe there's a possibility that she might be the Republican nominee.
I don't even know how that machination would happen, but that would be okay.
Well, she's the only one who has any electoral. I sound like Trump now. Electoral college votes.
Right.
Besides Trump. So, you know, that I think that's a possibility. The other possibility is that Trump becomes a nominee and drops dead before the election. I mean, he's obviously in ill health. You just need to look at any of the photos where he doesn't have a lot of makeup on or where he's tired. And you can see that he's really in pretty bad shape. So I don't think we need to worry about Trump getting into the White House. I hope I'm right about that. I do think we need to worry about making sure that Biden has Congress that will back him up. So we need to worry about making sure that we have a Democratic-controlled Senate and a Democratic-controlled House. And that means we really, really, really need to get the vote out.
True. Preach, sister, preach.
It's just astonishing to me that there's still, you know, like, what, 45-46% in the polls that think that Trump would actually be a reasonable candidate. And, of course, we really do have to blame the media for this. They pounce on anything that, you know, anything that Biden says that could possibly be interpreted as an aging brain. But Trump comes out with these incredible word salads that make no sense at all. Well, we can't have an election on Tuesday because we've already had a Tuesday, and Tuesday can't be an election.
Right.
It's that crazy. It's that crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see it on Twitter. I don't see much of it on Facebook. We see it on Twitter. We sure as hell don't see it in any of the major news organizations, except perhaps, you know, a few like Rachel Maddow, who will say, look, you know, this is what he actually said. And do we really want someone who is this mentally compromised running the United States of America?
Well, I gotta tell you honestly, the thing that if not even Trump so much that I'm concerned about, it's his fucking followers. Because these are people who know better. These are people who actually care about certain things that Trump gives lip service to, but y'all know he don't give a shit about Jesus, abortion.
Uh-huh.
He's already backing up on the whole abortion thing, and that's why you evangelicals put him in the first goddamn place, because you were so worried about abortion. Now he says, let's roll it back to the state. And y'all are like, not one of you has freaked out enough to even notice, and I'm shocked. Because that was the whole, allegedly, that was your whole fucking agenda of why you needed this guy to be in the White House, that God chose him to eliminate the scourge of choice for women, that was such a goddamn big problem for you, and now he's backing down on it. Are y'all serious? Y'all can't be close to serious. I'm sorry. It just pisses me off so royally.
Trump is not the only one who's mentally ill in this country. I mean, there. Now, I do think that there is a reality check coming, a clearing of the minds, let's say, in 2026 with the Saturn-Neptune conjunction. I think we're going to see some big reality checks happening there. But as far as the election this year, keeping my fingers and toes crossed, but I would be willing to put money on Biden winning. Or at least the Democratic candidate. You know, Biden could drop dead too, but he's pretty healthy, so I don't think he will. I mean, that State of the Union speech. Did you see his State of the Union speech?
Of course. Are you kidding? I recorded it. I could have committed to memory. Here's the thing. Biden has had a stammer all of his life. He has always tripped over words. It is not something new. It is not a sudden attack of dementia. The gentleman has always had issues with stammering and stuttering, and it's those who actually do follow politics know that. You all, any of you who care about politics already knew that. Don't have to tell you. So the idea that this is used as a reason why he's not capable or he has dementia is absolute bullshit. Now, I do remember a point in time where Trump could speak clearly and communicate thoughts for an hour and does not seem able to do this anymore. I think it is a vanity project, and that is all this is, because anything he wants to do that he is right now saying he wants to do, there's no reason to not believe that he will do what he is saying he wants to do. No reason whatsoever.
Which is get revenge on his enemies.
Absolutely. And the idea, and if y'all don't think this shit is connected, let me remind you. If you remove a ban for abortion, they will twist it into a way to euthanize people that they don't like. So things that you thought you were voting for, things that you thought you were accomplishing for the good of the world, things that you thought your savior was telling you to do. There's a lot in the Bible about false prophets. There's been a lot of teachings about false prophets. I was raised in the church. So I'm just going to tell you, guys have the wool pulled over your eyes again. Be careful. Careful before you doom an entire society to a Trump reality again, because if you think it was shitty last time, I promise you he will double down on it this time. So I know we are both believing that that is not going to happen, but that does not mean you can't be vigilant. It does not mean you can't do diligence. It does not mean don't vote. It means you absolutely have to do all of those things. Absolutely, because it's not
and,
just about the
president. Trump isn't. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, you're good. No, I was finished. Go ahead.
Trump is not. We have to remember that Trump is not the only problem. We have the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. We have Mitch McConnell, who fortunately is stepping down. We have people like Carrie Lake, Sarah Huckabee. All of these, DeSantis, DeSantin, all of these people are on the Trump train, and you know he may they'll find some other engine to draw the train into a theocratic authoritarian state, even if he isn't elected, and if we don't get a Democratic Senate and a Democratic House. Biden's hands, the man is brilliant as far as working around, because, I mean, he's been in politics for so long, at working around what he's been dealt with the House in this term. But it's getting more and more important, particularly with this Supreme Court, that he be able to freely pursue a Democratic agenda.
Yes.
And the only way he can do that is if he has both houses of Congress on his side.
I agree.
Well, do you think we've solved all the problems of the world yet? Or at least defined them?
I think so. I think it was a great hour of problem solving, identifying issues, giving people guidance. I think we did good. I think we did all right.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I do good.
What do you think?
I do too. I do too. I always enjoy chatting with you and you know, blathering on about astrology, because that's one of my favorite subjects, and politics, because that's such an important subject. But I enjoyed talking with you, and I hope your listeners enjoyed our conversation as well.
I'm sure they have. Tell people where they can find you.
Oh, right. let's see. Uranius. You can find me on my... yeah, right. Search me down, right. Hunt me down here. All right, you can find me at my website, which is uraniaswell.com. That's uraniaswell.com. And there's a contact form on the site, and my blog is on the site, and you can sign up for my mailing list so you're the first person to get my blog post when I release it. I send out about one a month, and yeah, that's where you can find me. Oh, and I forgot to mention that that I had another book come out this year, which I was the co-author with Ivo Dominguez of a book called Aries Witch, which was the first book in Llewellyn's Sun Sign series, and I really enjoyed. Writing it, and Ivo did most of the heavy lifting astrologically, and so I just got to talk about what it was like to be an Aries and an Aries witch specifically. So that was fun too.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that.
Thanks again, Raina.
Very much appreciate your time as always, my dear. We will do it again. We will do it again as long as you're willing.
Absolutely, always. Take care. We'll talk again soon.
We will. Thank you. All right, guys, that's it for this week. I have Kate Johnson on next week. I'm so excited. I love her to pieces. So I will talk to y'all soon. Have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe. Stay mindful. Nice to see everybody.